What's going on, everybody? It's me, the PR. I am me, and I am here with Mr. Tommy, the man that's, I guess, had this idea and was like, "Yeah, I want to do something very special." Tommy, can you please let the people know your fun idea that you decided to share with the world? Because you know it's very interesting.
So the documentary is "I Love You, You Hate Me." It's premiering at Peacock October 12th. And the idea kind of came about is I saw this old 1993 news broadcast about people bashing Barney the Dinosaur. You know, Barney the Dinosaur, the iconic PBS character. And this University of Nebraska college kids were just beating up Barney, ripping him apart, throwing darts at him. And at the end, the newscaster was like, "Oh, that's the future of our country right there." And it's like, that's 1993, we're living in that future now. Like, what if we could tell a story about, like, where hate comes from? Like, love and hate, but told through the story of Barney the Dinosaur. So that was where the idea came from. It wasn't like, let's make a documentary about Barney. It was like, let's talk about love and hate and through this iconic character.
At least for me, early days of YouTube, Barney was getting a lot of hate for no reason. Suspicious videos of anything. How do you use that, if you even use that, even YouTube part? Because that was, weirdly enough, a big part for me, because I love Barney growing up, and then seeing all this YouTube stuff, I know what was real, what was not. This was early days of YouTube, so I didn't.
What even goes like earlier than that, right? Like Barney was on, it started as something that was like a kid's tape in 1988. And then it went on PBS in 1992. So you're dealing with like really early internet. Like I'm talking like way before like AOL. It was just like sort of Usenet. The internet was just really for like college kids or like libraries. It wasn't anything that like, I mean, it was not on your phone. There wasn't like a common computer in your house. So, you know, when the first time the word jihad was ever used, it was online. It was the Jihad Destroy Barney website. So it was really interesting to sort of see like this thing, the internet, and how it's supposed to be there to connect us all, but we all collectively connect over something we hate, like Barney the Dinosaur.
Which happens a lot more often than
yeah.
not.
Barney was definitely one originator in that sort of way.
Now, I personally always make fun because I always call this Burnt Barney, even though I don't mean actual Barney, but the Barney that was before the show where he started, you know, he was a little darker purple than the bright purple that we know. What are your memories of Barney? Just, you know, for you to even do this talk, what are your memories of it?
Yeah, I was too old for Barney. I was 10 years old when it came out on PBS, right? 88, when the tapes, I would have been 6. So, like, you know, my thing with Barney was I remember, you know, me and my friends would make videos, like, you know, wanting to be, like, funny or, you know, try to make like Mad TV sketches. So my aunt made me a Barney suit where my friend Timmy would dress like Mr. Rogers and would beat me up in the Barney suit. So it was a lot of like just like jokingly Barney bashing and all sorts of stuff. And we use actually a couple of those clips in the docuseries. So that was interesting. But yeah, I mean, Barney was always too, I was too old for Barney, but I could appreciate what Barney was, you know, like, you know, I grew up loving Cookie Monster and like Scrooge McDuck and like those sort of characters. So I have a respect for what that character was for people.
Yes. Also, I've seen this clip many a times, and before this dog even came out, I personally, not gonna lie, I thought this video was kind of funny. The Barney dies at a parade, quote unquote.
That's crazy because like that was like such a like, it was the wind. The wind was so crazy. So what you're explaining was Barney at the Macy's Day Parade.
Yes.
And like the big floats that they have. And it was so windy, it caught like a light post and just ripped it. And so the Barney's just like broken up and like, you know, just going everywhere. And poor people are holding on to it like this, you know. So, yeah, that's a very funny clip that we were able to include.
Yeah, it was like you never see that happen to Elmo. And it's just Barney for some reason. Just Barney just somehow. Yeah,
there's a couple inappropriate, you know, pictures of some of those floats. I think there's like a Spider-Man's face and some other character's crotch. You know, like there's always some weird things with those air balloons.
For you, who was the most surprising person maybe to get to be a part of this? I've seen Bill Nye, I've seen Steve from Blue's Clues. Who was one of the most surprising people?
I mean, Steve from Blue's Clues and Bill Nye were amazing gets, and we were like, we fought so hard to make sure it happened, and I'm so happy to include them. But honestly, like the day we heard back from the guy who created the I Hate Barney Secret Society, we're like, yes! Because, you know, like, Steve, you know, I could talk to his, you know, his manager or his agent, you know, Bill Nye, actually Blair helps us get him, you know? So it was like, it's kind of like, you know, people had the people, you know, but like the guy who created the I Hate Barney's Secret Society, he doesn't have management, you know, he doesn't have an agent. He's somewhere in Florida living his life. So we were, you know, a lot of like detective work and trying to find that sort of stuff. So we were very happy to hear back from him.
That surprisingly is honestly a surprising answer to me. I thought you were going to say, Bill Nye is the science guy.
Oh my God. I mean, not discrediting any of them. I mean, like, I remember, you know, in like, was it seventh grade science class? You know, the teacher is like, would wheel in the TV, you know, and like, all right, today, now you're going to watch Bill Nye. And we were like, Bill, you know, it's like, you love that. And like, it still was a little too old for Steve from Blue's Clues, but God, dude, I knew who he was. And I've always just thought he was an amazing, cool, smart person. So it was definitely an honor to have both of them in the movie. But yeah, but like, it's always the silly things, like the I Hate Barney Secret Society guy, you know? Or like, you know, we interviewed the San Diego Chicken in the San Diego Chicken outfit. Like, that was a weird thing to see a professional audio guy mic up a man in a chicken suit, so...
Yes, but you know, I can imagine if you don't know doc about a person, I'm sure like the Bob West, I'm pretty sure they were going to be in there. So, you know, right. That's why the Steves make it harder because, like, nobody would imagine Steve to be in a Barney doc. If it was Blue's Clues, then of course. Right.
Well, we wanted like that murderous row of like, you know, kids show characters. You know, at one point, like we did a Skype call with Tinky Winky, you know. from Teletubbies, and we were gonna interview him and all this, and it was gonna work out, but he was just, you know, he's in Europe, you know, it just didn't work out, you know. And I'm not sure how young you are, but like, if you know who Stick Stigley is,
Stick Stigley, of course, yeah.
Yeah, we interviewed Stick Stigley, but as a stick. So like, I'm talking like the stick we interviewed, and he's in that voice talking about like, well, where do you think hate comes from? And he gives this amazing answer. But at the end of the day, because we interviewed him as a stick, it's like we don't own the copyright of that character. Like, you can interview real people all the time. Well, you know, we interviewed a character, you know? So that was a little, I guess, going too far. But, oh my God, talking to Stick Stigley, and I didn't even know who Stick Stigley was. You know, I had to look it up. I was like, oh, wait, I think I remember that, you know? But to hear him as a stick talk about where hate comes from in an amazing answer. It was like, this is so much fun.
I can imagine. I feel like that's how people feel when they interview Bill Farmer, because he's goofy, but okay. It's weird when he uses his real voice, because you're like, oh, this is goofy, but he's talking like a regular guy. But some people have...
He's actually goofy, you're saying? Like, he's the character Goofy?
Yes, sorry. He's the character Goofy.
But, I love Goofy. Goofy's so cool.
Goofy is cool, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Donald Duck guy or like Scrooge McDuck, stuff like that. But you gotta have love for Goofy.
Now, I want to ask you about this other project that you're doing. It's The House From.
Yes. Because
I'm a huge film location person.
Really?
Huge.
Nice.
My first film location I ever went to was the John Marshall High, which is like the school for Boy Meets World. And
other. Yes. Oh my God, so much things were filmed there. Like, was it Grease, Freddy Krueger, Kelly Waite? Yeah, I've been there.
So I just want to ask you really quick, why didn't you do like film location? Why did you do houses in particular than just like the school you've seen here or the...
Right, because we wanted to explore that relationship of ownership, you know, like where, you know, for millions of people, it's the house from
Full House,
you know, yeah. but to one person, it's home, you know? And like, so like Wonder Years is a good example. Like, People live in a Wonder Years house. That's their house. They have their own memories. They share their own sort of stories there. But, you know, strangers every day are trying to get in their backyard to play basketball with Kevin Arnold, you know? So, like, what's that relationship? You know, like, as a fan, you feel ownership of this memory. You feel all, you're jumping into the movie. You're like, I'm now in Home Alone. You know, I can see the Home Alone house. I think Kevin Arnold's there. But it's not. It's not him at all. Like, Kevin Arnold does not – Kevin Arnold. Kevin McAllister doesn't live there, you know? So it's to us, it was like exploring that relationship over the house and the idea of memories. Like, you know, I could drive by the house I grew up in and think, oh, man, I remember doing this. I remember doing that. Man, it gives you this warm feeling. But no one else is driving by going, having any of the same feelings, you know, like I've been inside the full house and to think like, oh man, Jesse and Michelle and, you know, like, you know, the dog, you know? So it's really interesting to play around with those sort of things and the way some of the fans overdo it. Like, you know, people, the Breaking Bad house, people throw pizza on Walter White's house because it's from Breaking Bad. Friday, someone stuck their head in the window and said, break yourself, like Chris Tucker did, you know? So it's like, why does that sort of happen? And it also, so there's that question of that, but also it is fun to see what some of the inside of these spots really look like. You know, like, for example, Full House on Friday, none of that was really filmed in the inside, you know, for the most part. So to see what some of them really, really look like, it's cool, you know, so.
With you being a, you know, maybe a film location person, what was, if you have one, your first film location or house that you went to by yourself before even doing this project was like, wow, I remember.
Yeah. So, I mean, I live in like the Philadelphia area. So, I mean, the Rocky Steps, you know, okay. But dude, like, so like, it's so funny. Like, I remember watching Back to the Future and there's this high school by me that looked like the clock tower. You know, and there was a JCPenney's parking lot, you know? I was like, did they film it here? Like, I was like, I just, you know, I was like so young thinking, I was like, that's, I think that's the clock tower, you know? So it was always that sort of stuff. But yeah, the Rocky Steps or going to like see Kevin Smith movies, like I would go to the Quick Stop and all that sort of stuff. But I don't live in LA anymore, but I lived there for a couple of years. But I remember going like, wait, I could just walk to the Wonder Years house, you know? Like, it was crazy, you know?
Yeah,
and Freddy Krueger's house is amazing.
I don't want to get started on the clock tower because I was set to go there right before it caught fire when it actually hit the clock tower. But now it looks completely different. I'm like, what's the point? It's legendary, but like, it looks way different.
Yeah.
One of the final questions: did you have any other house that you were thinking about? Because obviously, like you said, Back to the Future house, I would say that that's iconic. You know, Ferris Bueller house and Fresh Prince house. Sure. Stuff like, are any of those maybe on the radar for any other projects? Or
we spoke to the people who own the Fresh Prince house, but they, you know, some people just don't want to be involved, which was really funny. Some of the surrounding areas, like the Golden Girls house is like 15 minutes from the Fresh Prince house. And the Fresh Prince house is two blocks from O.J. Simpson's real house at the time when the O.J. Simpson stuff was going down. So like, that sort of stuff's crazy. But yeah, I mean, there's a couple locations that I'd still love to do. And we're filming up, wrapping up. I mean, the Kickstarter is thehousefrom.com. And the idea for that is to sort of just a little bit of wrapping up on the production, but also just releasing it ourselves. Like, we know that's a movie that it doesn't have sort of like the, like, you know, overly dramatic sort of thing. It's just like, it's really interesting to see what it's like to have that perspective of living in such a famous house. But God, yeah, I mean, there's so many. I've been trying to get the Boy Meets World house to get back to.
Oh my gosh, you get know? That over. It's
right? Over. Yeah. Right? God, yeah. That, I mean, there's so many houses, you know? I mean, I'm trying to think of like all the ones we've done. Like, we did Full House, the original owners of Golden Girls, the original owners of Home Alone, Uncle Buck, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Silence of the Lambs, Friday, Can't Hardly Wait, Sixth Sense, Twilight, Short Circuit, Goonies, Roseanne, think there's a couple more. But I mean, like, you talk about Back to the Future. There's this one street, and we filmed, oh, old school. We filmed on this one street in Pasadena called Bushnell. And in it is, it's Biff's house from Back to the Future, right? And then over here is the house he kicked the ball on, the roof in Back to the Future 2. And that house is actually Luke Wilson's house from old school.
Oh.
Right next to that is Lorraine's house from Back to the Future, which is also the same house from Teen Wolf that Michael J. Fox lived in, right? And then a couple of houses down is George McFly's house. And then all the way down here is Ghost Dad. And across the street is a show called 30-something, if you remember that one. But all on this one street, all on this one block in South Pasadena. Oh, we went to the Pee Wee Herman house, too.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Only thing I will say is more John Hughes.
Well, yeah. Well, so we got, yeah. So we had Uncle Buck, Train Spice on Automobiles, Home Alone. We couldn't get Pretty in Pink. She didn't want to be a part of it. We were going to try to do it with the Alan Ruck house in Chicago. But yeah, I mean, yeah.
Ooh,
man.
That house. Oh, yeah. That one would have been.
I mean, you got, like, what are you going to do a movie on? It's like an hour and 20 minutes, hour and a half. You can't hit them all, you know? And at a certain point, they're all the same sort of story. So you have to, like, try to figure out what's different about things, you know? And what's great, some of these houses, like, are Airbnbs now. You know, you could live, you could stay in the Twilight house. You could stay in the Short Circuit house. You could stay in the Silence of the Lambs house. They just built the basement to look like Mr. Bill or not Mr. Bill. You know what I mean?
Buffalo Bill. Honestly, that's a good, that makes sense. You know, you're like, oh, you guys like this house? Come live in it. And
absolutely. They make so much money. Yeah.
Yes. Well, look, I'm going to say it was nice talking to you. Do you have any ads or anything?
Nice question mark there. You seem like, you're like, it was nice.
No, sorry. I was looking at my notes and doing this. I'm like, okay, making sure I hit all my points. You know, I don't want to miss anything. You know, I got to get you and also the project. So, do you have any, you know, tell people where to find you at so that they can find you and your beautiful VHS back wall?
Yeah, man, I love my collection here. There's even more on this side. So DoubleWindsorFilms.com is our website, but it's really just like a holding ground. Like, my name's Tommy Avallone, Avallone, and then number 3 at Instagram and Twitter and all that sort of jazz. Like, I have a blue check.
Yes, that is very important. Yes, oh, very important. Nice. And so, yeah, you know, guys, look, I would really suggest you guys watch this documentary, because it's going to be a lot of interesting things, you know. A lot of people, when it first came out, thought Barney, the actual character, was the one doing bad. But no, it's just about people hating Barney, not him doing anything wrong.
Yeah, I mean, people say it's the dark side of Barney, but it's really the dark side of us as society. You know, yeah. Barney didn't do anything wrong.
All the comments first was like, oh, no, don't ruin my childhood. Don't tell me Barney was doing something. Like, no, calm down, people.
Now, my favorite thing to do is I'll get on those comments and be like, I think you're fine. You're trying. That's fine.
you're good. You're good. Well, look, I'm going to keep it short and sweet, because Tommy, this man is busy. This man on the move. This man has stuff to do. So I'm going to say, from Tommy and from me, prime time is all the time, and we are out.